It's a big schus to be here tonight, to be able to share words of Torah with the Bnei HaYeshiva. A really, really big schus that I do not take for granted, and I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day for giving me this wonderful opportunity to be a part of this yeshiva and to share words of Torah. So again, thank you for being here, and I feel so fortunate. A very well-known medrash, which much of us know. In order not to give a pishon peh, in order not to allow the Gentile nations to have a taina, have a complaint against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it was only to Klal Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to different nations and offered them the Torah. He went to the Bnei Esav and he said, here's the Torah, accept it. Esav said, Maksiva, what's written in it, Amar Lahem, Lo Sirtzach, one is not allowed to kill. And of course we know that the Mahus, the essence of Esav, is they were murderers. And then he went, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to Bnei Amon Umoav, and again, here's the Torah, accept the Torah. And again, Bnei Amon Umoav turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Maksivba, what's written in this Torah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lo Sinaf, one is not allowed to act in an immoral fashion. And again, they weren't able to accept the Torah because their mahus, their essence, was that of immorality. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to the Bnei Yishmael. And again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, here's the Torah, accept it. Maksivba, asked Yishmael. Lo signov, one is not allowed to steal. And again, the essence, the mahus of Yishmael is that of being a ganav. Until finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes, Eitzel Yisrael, by Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers Klal Yisrael the Torah. And of course we know that Klal Yisrael's response was those two famous words of Naseh v'Nishma, Naseh we will do, and Nishma we will learn. Klal Yisrael was excited, was glad to accept this Torah regardless of what was written in this Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so excited, says the Gemara Masechet Shabbos Daf Peches, B'shah Shehikdimu Yisrael Naseh V'Nishma, at the time, at the moment that the Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah with those famous words of Naseh V'Nishma, the Malachi Hashareis, the celestial angels, came to each and every one of Yisrael and Kashru Lo Shnei Ksarim and placed upon the heads of Klal Yisrael these crowns. One crown representing Naseh and the other crown representing Nishma. Then asks Tosfos, how do we understand the pasuk that tells us, Vayitziatzvu b'taktis ahar, the Klal Yisrael stood under the mountain, and the Gemara tells us, Milamed shekafa HaKadosh Baruch Hu aleihem eshar kigigis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had placed this mountain upon the heads of Klal Yisrael, v'omer lehem, and tells them, im atem mekablim ha-Torah mutav, if you accept the Torah, then mutav, then good, v'im lav, and if you do not, sham take furaschem, here will be your burial. Asks Tosfos, how do we reconcile? On one hand, the Malachi Asharis came down to each and every member of Klal Yisrael and placed the crown of Naseh v'Nishma on their heads. Yet on the other hand, we have this Gemara that tells us that the mountain hung over their heads. And if they did not accept the Torah, Sham Tehek Furaschem, this is where they will be buried. Why was that necessary if Klal Yisrael accepted willingly the Holy Torah? The Chassan Sofer answers beautifully by suggesting that indeed it's true that Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah with open arms. They recited those words, Naseh v'Nishma. But it was al-Tanai. It was on condition, says the Chassan Sofer, Sheyisrael lo rotzu lekabel haTorah rak be'eretz Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael, when they said those words, Naaseh v'nishma, they only wanted to accept the Torah gladly and willingly if it meant that they could only have the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael represents Sheyihu Am Chafshi La'atzmam. Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael is a sovereign nation. B'li kol memsholos acheros, without any interference from other nations of the world. Az yikayimu haTorah, then said Klal Yisrael, we will willingly accept this Torah with open arms, reciting Naaseh v'nishma. Aval lo behayosem begalus, but we will not accept this Torah in galus, in exile, bein ha'amim, among the nations of the world, i'efshar la'amod b'neihem b'kiyam ha'Torah, we cannot keep the Torah among the nations of the world. V'chazru v'lo rotzu l'kabel ha'Torah, then they retracted, and they said, if we can't only exclusively have the Torah in Eretz Yisrael, we don't want the Torah, take the Torah back. And it was at that point, says the Chassan Sofer, Kovin Olein Har Kigigis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to place the Torah upon them and said, you don't have a choice. It's not Al Tnai. The Torah has to be kept in Eretz Yisrael and in Golos among the Gentile nations of the world. Doesn't this Tnai that Klal Yisrael wanted to suggest to the Almighty sound familiar? Isn't this a T'nai that some of us, most of us, if not all of us, have said in our lives? We went to high school, and we all know what high school is about for most of us. And then we go off to Eretz Yisrael, and we're exposed to a Torah that we're excited about. And this is a Torah where we have as much time and freedom without any distractions and interruptions. And we're not among the Gentile nations of the world and the secular society bothering us and staring us. And we're able to focus exclusively on our Naaseh v'nishma and nothing else. And then we come back to America. And we come back to yeshiva here in America. And then it starts. The mentality already among us is that we can't have the same Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't do it. It might have been for Eretz Yisrael where I can learn and steig and grow and develop. But once I come back with all the distractions and all of the extraneous things that are going on in our lives, I can't and I will not accept this Torah. The Torah is only when it's easy, said Klal Yisrael. I'm only going to accept the Torah when it's not midterm week. But after midterms, I'm going to be back stronger than ever. Or perhaps some of us are saying, we'll start when the year is over. And then some of us are saying, after our internship, then we're going to start learning. Then we're going to have a Naaseh v'nishma. Or perhaps we'll wait until after the internship, when I graduate, then I'm going to start learning. And perhaps not then, but after I find my zivuk, finally I'm going to have a bias, a house, then I'm going to start learning. But then, no, not when that happens, when I have my first kid, because now the kid needs a father that's going to know how to learn Torah. And it's a never-ending cycle where we say to ourselves, Naaseh v'nishma is at a different time, not now. I had a friend that I was learning with. He was a younger man. We learned together. A wonderful, wonderful younger man. A masmid. Someone that was diligent in his Torah study, a tremendous Baal Midos. And his years as a younger man had come to an end, and he was going to start dental school. His first day starting dental school, he comes out of his bedroom, and please don't misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm only saying this according to Shitaso, according to his Shita. He comes out of his bedroom wearing a non-white only shirt. I don't care about white, black, blue, red, it doesn't make a difference. But according to his Shita, when he was in Kolel, that's what he wore. He came out and his wife looks at him and says, since I know you, you've never worn this shirt. Where did you get it? I don't even know you bought one. I didn't even know you own one. This man, Shlomo, turns to his wife and said, I'm no longer in Kolel. It's a different phase in my life. Even though we're not in Eretz Yisrael, and even though we have extra responsibility while we're here in yeshiva, it doesn't mean we can change our colors. It doesn't mean we have to change who we were in Eretz Yisrael. Now we have a different mentality. It doesn't need to be a kofin olay and higher kegigis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to place the mountain over our head and says that you have to do it regardless. And it's true, we have to do it regardless. Even though the quantity of learning perhaps is different, it doesn't mean that the quality should be compromised one iota. Perhaps it means that instead of taking an hour break for lunch, that's in the schedule from 12 to 1 or 1 to 2, that it means that I take an hour for lunch. It means because my quantity is compromised, it means that now I have to take a lunch for 5 minutes and eat while I'm learning for the next 45 minutes in the base medrash. That's the kofin olay and har kegigis, that when it's not convenient, we still have to come and force ourselves, even though it's not easy. That is the explanation of the Chassan Sofer reconciling on one hand the Naaseh v'Nishma, and on the other hand, this idea of Kofin Aleihen Har Kegigis. That's the first point that I wanted to share with you tonight. And then there's another aspect of Kabbalah's HaTorah that I would like to discuss tonight. The Pasuk tells us, when Klal Yisrael heard all that the Torah was, Vayanu Kol Ha'am Yachtav, the nation answered Yachtav in unison, and they said, all that Hashem had said we will do. Pasha Pshat, the simple meaning, the simple understanding of that pasuk, is that when Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah upon themselves, it was Vayichan Sham Yisrael, it was Be'ish Echad, Be'am Echad, Lev Echad, we were Yachtav, we were united. However, the Malbim suggest the opposite. The Malbim suggest that when the word Yachtav is mentioned, the word Yachtav means Shemilas Yachtav More Al Hashavi Shechashvu Es Atzmo Kulam Shavim. That unlike the word Yachad, which represents harmony and Achdus, the word Yachtav represents that each and every person in Klal Yisrael viewed themselves as an equal to the next person. As the Malbim continues, Shelefi Tshuvasam, that through the answer of Klal Yisrael, Lo Rotsu Shemoshe Va'aharon. Am Yisrael did not want Moshe and Aaron and Kol Shekein, even more so the Skenim, Yihyu Emsoyim, that they should be an intermediary Beinam Ubein Hashem, between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo Rotsu Sheyikablu HaTorah Al Yidei Moshe, and they did not want to accept the Torah Al Yidei Moshe. Says the Malbim, Rak Shekulam Yisa'alu Limadregas Hanavua, all of them wanted to raise to the level of prophecy, V'yikablu HaTorah MeHashem, and to accept the Torah from Hashem himself, without Bali Emsoi. V'zeh Hayatos Korach, and of course, says the Malbim, that was the mistake of Korach, Sha'omar that said, Kichol Ha'eda Kulam Kedoshim, that the entire people were Kedoshim, Umadua Tisnasu Al Kahal Hashem, why are you, Moshe and Aharon, in positions of prominence? This idea of Yachtov, I think in our generation, is perhaps our biggest problem, our greatest impediment in being Ovdei Hashem. We want to believe that we are equal to the Chachamim of our generation. And it's just not true. We want to believe that a Rebbe can get up and give over a hashkafa of Torah, give over his outlook on what he deems necessary for Klal Yisrael to grow in their Dveikus B'Hashem. And a Rebbe has every right to get up and give over what he believes is Hashkafas HaTorah. And then someone can get up, a bacher, or a younger man. I'm not saying anybody specifically, and I'm not talking to anybody specifically. But someone can get up and either blog or talk about it at a table and discuss how this Rebbe is outdated, is closed-minded, is judgmental, doesn't get us. That's Bechinas Yachtov. That's Bechinas Korach Bichol Adoso, who said and pronounced for all to hear, Madua Tisnasu Al Kahal Hashem, why is it that you were given these positions of prominence? And of course we know the outcome of Korach v'chol Adoso. In Reb Dessler's Sefer, Michtov Me'eliyahu, in Chelek Aleph, page 75, he wrote in Igeres a letter, and the title of that letter is Emunas Chachomim. And he brings down from Hagon Reb Simcha Zisel Mikeln, Shehalimud Shel Megillas Esther, that the limud of the Megillah of Esther, who Emunas Chachomim, is about trusting in the Chachomim. Va'afilu im ein anu mevidim es divrayim, and even though the words of the Chachomim were not understood, V'od Yoser Tzorich Emunas Chachomim, even more so, Emunas Chachomim is necessary. Da'afilu b'mokom shenire b'chush, even though outwardly it appears that the words of the Chachomim she'ein hatzedek are not righteous, ima Chachomim, afilu hochi, nonetheless, writes Reb Dessler, based on the yesod, on the principle of Reb Simcha Zisel, Srichin lekabel es divrayhem, we need to accept their words, ulahamin shatzedek itam, and to understand that the words of the Chachamim are tzedek, even though to us who are limited do not understand nor comprehend the words of the Chachamim. Let me go further in the words of Reb Dessler. Megillas Esther. Hirashimas Masim Shel Teish HaShonim. That the words of the Megillah spanned 9 years from the 3rd year of the reign of Ahasuerus until the 14th year. In the 3rd year, Lemishta Shel Ahasuerus, Asur Leham Mordechai Loleches. In the 3rd year of Ahasuerus' reign, he invited the Jews to the party. And Mordechai forbade the people to attend this mishta. V'hoyu harbe toanim kinegdo, and there were many people that had protested the psak halakha of Mordechai. And they announced, Tare pikuach nefeshu, this is life or death, ki melech tipesh ka'achashverosh, because a fool like Ahasuerosh, yaro chas v'sholom, will kill us. If we don't come like the rest of the Gentile nations, and they didn't heed his wishes, and they went. And nothing happened, said Reb Dessler. And then 9 years later, when Haman rose to a position of prominence and he commanded all to bow down, and Mordechai did not bow down. And again, the same members of Klal Yisrael turned to Mordechai and they said, what are you doing? You're going to jeopardize our lives. This is pikuach nefesh. And again, Mordechai did not listen to Bnei Yisrael. And lo and behold, immediately after not bowing down to Haman, came the edict, the gzerah, of Lahagrog, Lahashmir, it's called Ayahudim, that all the Jews are going to be destroyed. Now listen to the question that Reb Dessler asks. Ilu Hainu Sham, if we would have been there, Ma Hainu Omrim Anachnu, what would we have said as to what brought about the Gzera to destroy Klal Yisrael? Ma groma lezera, what caused this gzera? Ha'ima shehikil Mordechai be'inyon klal Yisrael. Was it the fact, the notion, that Mordechai was lax vis-a-vis the affairs of klal Yisrael? Or, asks Reb Dessler, ma shetesha shanim, that what had happened 9 years earlier, when Mordechai admonished the people, don't go, it's a trap. Don't go, there will be a kitrug against you in Shemayim, don't go. And they went anyways. What would we have answered as to what was the reason for the decree against Am Yisrael? Says Reb Dessler of Al Ha'emes Lo Haisa Kain, it had nothing to do with the fact that Mordechai had bowed down, but rather it had to do with the fact that Bnei Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, knowledgeable people, people who were concerned and considerate with mitzvos, but they thought that Mordechai was mistaken. And even 9 years later, they thought that he was mistaken again. We don't have the Mesorah. We don't have the Shemush. We don't have the traditions of our Chachamim. They have the Mesorah. They have the Shemush. They have the Mesorah from generation to generation, as we learned in Maseches Sanhedrin, that the smicha of the chachomim of the skenim, as the Rambam says, is Moshe to Yoshua to skenim to Nevi'im to the Hashik Nes Agdola and so forth and so on. Our chachomim have a Mesorah. And therefore, even though we look at their psak in Ashkafa and we say, what are they talking about? They must not get me. It's irrelevant. And I'm not saying to check our brains at the door. What I am saying is we have to be mevatel and machnia ourselves to understand the ways of the Chachamim. You see, we're trained to always question and to ask. It doesn't make sense. And as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing worse than speaking to a Rebbe when a Rebbe is giving over a hadracha, and a Talmud looks at the Rebbe and said, or says, that makes sense. Doesn't make a difference. Doesn't make a difference if it makes sense. This is someone that has studied and learnt. We have to try to understand the words of our Chachamim. And if we don't understand it, keep it to ourselves. We don't have to let everyone know that we vehemently are opposed or disagree to our Mesorah. And perhaps I believe that's the reason why we have a Nase V'Nishma and a Kofin Alein Har Kigigis. A Nase V'Nishma is about the things that make sense, that we're willing to go with. And the Kofin Alein Har Kigigis are those Hashkafic points and the Emunas Chachamim that perhaps to us doesn't make sense. And it's at that point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu places the mountain upon us and says to us, we gotta do it anyways. And that's Pshat. When Klal Yisrael saw that Mordechai was righteous and Tzedek in his wisdom, Kimu v'kiblu. Kimu v'kiblu. Now they were ready to accept the Torah in its totality without necessarily having upon them the Har Kigigis. Now I just want to make one thing clear so that this doesn't end up in some newspaper or some blog, which I already discussed it shouldn't. I'm not saying to leave a brain at the door. I'm not saying that we shouldn't inquire. If our Rebbe says something, we should ask. But not ask in a way to be mekatreig, but ask to understand, to be maven what our Rebbe is saying. If we ask with the right motivation, the right intention, we will understand. And if we don't understand, perhaps we have to go to a different Rebbe that maybe we'll understand a little bit better. And of course, aligned with our Mesorah. But not to be mevatel. And not to disgrace. And not to diminish. Because after all, in Golos, among Shar Ha'amim, not necessarily living in Eretz Yisrael, which everything is easy, now more than ever, we need our Chachamim to guide us. Because we live in a world of Choshech. And the wisdom of our Chachamim is our light to guide us. Thank you.